gotten out of Morgantown, West Virginia. This past weekend, Fitzy was there for Texas and West Virginia in Morgantown. One of my favorite parts of the weekly conversations with Ian Fitzsimmons is when he tells us where he's going for dinner. He tells us about all this local food that he's eating in these great places down in the bayou and on different coasts. And he's always got a good connection someplace. Morgantown, not so much. Was it squirrel? Was it raccoon? What type of roadkill did you eat this past weekend, Fitzy?
Stereotype, Coach. Do not stereotype, man, because Morgantown's a cool college place.
No,
some of the best scenery you're ever going to see. Just pulling, when you're driving in from Pittsburgh, it is absolutely gorgeous, beautiful. No. And we ended up eating at a place called Stefano's. I know Marty's Googling it right now. Stefano's is a local steak pasta joint, man. It's actually underneath a bowling alley.
Well, dude, of course it is.
When we pulled in, and Barrett Jones, our three-time All-American, three-time national champ, right at Alabama, Barrett goes, "Is this place really underneath a bowling alley?" And I went, "Hell yeah, it is." He goes, "I'm in," and I'm like, "Me too." And I'd never been there before. Came highly recommended, by Craig Way, voice of the Texas Longhorns, and Mike Montero, long time. You remember Mike, long time SID at West Virginia, and man, the food was outstanding. Afterward, we decided.
Could you guys not get reservations at the local Macaroni Grill?
There's a lot of chains there, dude, but this is a great local haunt. I mean, I'm telling you, man, the risotto I had was absolutely spectacular. Barrett had some, it was a cut of veal that was the size of a small child. The petite filet ran you $80, but I can't remember who. I think Sean Kelly, our play by play guy, ordered
$80.
$80
for a petite filet in Morgantown, West Virginia,
and he said it was worth it. I mean,
it's on the
his
company.
His fork hit that steak and it just fell right into it.
Hmm.
I mean, yeah, very crispy on the outside. I had a bite, man. It was very well done. A little butter and I think they had a little peanut oil to it also, man. So it was really, really good. But after dinner, Smitty, well, of course, you know what we did, right?
Yeah,
we're eating.
I don't know. Went to the local Denny's. I don't know.
Bowling alley, dude.
Oh, okay.
If this 5-star restaurant is beneath a bowling alley, you got to go try and get a frame in. Hour and a half wait to try and get a lane at whatever it was, Superior Lanes above Stefano's in Morgantown, West Virginia. But it was awesome. I had a blast. Did not have peach or cherry moonshine, not even apple pie. Man, we had to get up and get out and get out of Dodge after an 11 a.m. kick and catch. And catch a flight back out of Pittsburgh. But I enjoyed it, dude. I really did. So there you go. I know you're expecting more of a stereotypical awful story, but man, it was a fine dining experience beneath a bowling alley in Morgantown, West Virginia.
Well, I don't say that just out of stereotype, and I say that because I've been to Morgantown, and it was not that type of experience at all.
Call me next time.
Well, there's not going to be a next time. So don't hold your breath on that one. There won't be a next time in Morgantown. I can promise you that one. But good job selling it. That way you're allowed back at some point. Did anybody light any couches on fire at the end of the night? Big win against the Horns.
Yeah, well, it was they're still bowl eligible, man. And this is an epic, obviously, meltdown by the Texas Longhorns. But I brought this up several times, and I'm curious to get your thought on it, Darren, because in order to take a country club atmosphere out of a program, you got to break it down, and you got to get guys out of there that aren't buying in and say, you know what, get the hell out. Gone. You're out of here. And that's exactly what Sark is doing. I mean, he's playing a lot of young guys to see, hey, what do you have? And if you don't show me something, you're out. He actually said there's going to be between 33 and 38 scholarships players that are on this team this year that won't be there next year. And this is the example, not comparison, but an example I gave. I was at WJOX in Birmingham, Alabama, Nick Saban's first year coaching the Crimson Tide. People forget this, man. They lost to La Monroe, the Warhawks of La Monroe, on a homecoming. I mean, and forget the score. The game wasn't close. I mean, it's like La Monroe pulled up in Yellowbird school buses with bag lunches of soggy peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, rolled in, right, and beat Big Bad Bama's ass in Nick Saban's first year there. And rolled out of town on the Yellowbird school buses, pushing the two clicks on the windows, right? rolling them down, screaming Roll Tide as they rolled out of town. DJ Hall was a senior captain and went on to play for the New York Giants. Nick Saban kicked his ass off the team. Gone. On senior day the following week, get out of here. You're out. I mean, and he had to break it down to build it back up. That's what soccer's having to do at Texas right now. And it's not going to be done in a year, man, because that thing that the boosters have to leave the players alone. And Sark has to go to those guys and say, look, don't contact my players. I've got this. I'm taking everything from control of what kind of coffee we drink in the facility to what my players can and cannot do and who they can and cannot talk to. That's exactly what Nick Saban did at Bama. And I promise you, that's what Sark is going to do at Texas. He'll get it fixed. But in the moment right now, man, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, well, I mean, to that point, people might have seen this video, and maybe this gives it a little bit of context, right, Fitzy? There was a video that was circulating a little bit a couple of weeks ago. I want to say the defensive coordinator on the bus basically telling the entire Texas defense, get in the transfer portal and get the hell out of here because you guys aren't good enough to play for this team, right?
Well, it was a D-line coach, Bo Davis, who also has experience at Alabama. I mean, look at it, man. They know what it takes to win, and they're going to the SEC, right? So you have Sark, who spent time at Bama. Kyle Flood, their offensive line coach and OC, Bama. A.J. Milley, quarterback coach, Bama. Bo Davis, Bama. They know what it takes and how a team is supposed to be built. And it's from the guts out, man. It's O-line, D-line, and then the next level. Linebackers, running backs. And then you get to the skill guys. You have to build it from the guts out first. And Bo Davis, man, he lit into those dudes. And you know, the only problem I have with that whole rant that he went on, which, man, if you try and play it on air, I hope Marty's creative.
Can't do it.
Because it's going to take a heck of a lot of editing, right, and a lot of bleeping. The biggest problem I have with that entire rant is that a coach had to do it. A player didn't do it. There should have been a player, a leader, on that defensive bus after they had a 7-3 lead at halftime at Iowa State. They end up losing 30-7. Truck 27-0 in the second half, and I was at that game. And you get on the bus as a D-line coach, and you hear guys laughing and having fun. Man, I'm more disappointed that there wasn't a player or two or five that didn't stand up and go, man, shut the hell up. We just had our fifth straight game with a lead in the second half, and we lost. Anybody laughing? Get the hell off the bus and walk back to Austin. That's the most disappointing thing, is that a coach had to do it and a player didn't do it.
Ian Fitzsimmons joining us. Yeah, good point. Extra 1360. Mother Fitz and Monday here. All right. Boy, another high-profile job opening up, Fitzy. USC, LSU, Florida, Washington, TCU. That's a different one. But still, it's a Power 5 program. There's a lot of money floating around Fort Worth as well. How would you rank these jobs? These are you know, some coaches are Miami might be opening up as well. It's not open yet, but there's all sorts of speculation there, which will have an impact on college football from Corvallis, perhaps through Oxford as well. How do you rank these opportunities as they currently are constructed?
One, I hate firing coaches and moving on from coaches in the middle of the season. You and I have talked about this for years, because the rest of the staff now is not focused on the players. They have one eye on their families.
Oh, I really? Do you think that came into play this past weekend against UCLA?
No, right.
They gave 66 points.
Hell no, man. I mean, that staff, they're looking out for them. They've got wives and children. They have to find a job. So that's one reason why I can't stand moving on from coaches during the year. And having said that, man, look at the unbelievable the lack of patience that's going on right now. The great John Wooden once said, one of the greatest virtues you can have as a teacher or a coach, and he believes coaches were teachers or are teachers, is patience. The ultimate virtue you can have is patience. Well, guess what? Athletic directors right now are out. Zero. Nada. Dan Mullen was a couple plays away from winning an SEC title last year. He had Bama beaten earlier this season, lost a close game. And all of a sudden now, bam, fired. Coach O, less than 2 years removed from winning a national championship with one of the greatest teams we've ever seen in college football, going 15-0, gone, fired. I mean, we can go on down the list, man. I mean, it's crazy. Jimmy Lake didn't even get 2 years, gone, out of there. It's nuts, bro. I mean, I've never seen a college football season like this. So you factor in, what are they now, 8 Power 5 jobs that are open? dude, Jimmy Sexton just got even. I mean, that dude is now printing money. I mean, if he wasn't already, he was going to the bathroom with $100 bills, man. I mean, he might as well crank that bad boy up with another comma, because these jobs are going to make so many guys so much money. Now, I was having a long conversation with a couple of the Texas assistant coaches, and they kept coming back to fit. It's got to fit. Like, I don't think Luke Fickell fits at USC. I know the connection is there with Mike Bone, but he's a Midwest guy. He's got six children that aren't out of high school yet. You're going to the Big 12. Why, if I'm Luke Fickell, I'm not leaving Cincinnati right now. I'm waiting on Ryan Day to go to the NFL. If I'm jumping, I'm going right up the interstate about an hour and a half back to Columbus, where I bled sweat on that field, and now I've proven myself as a head coach. And if worst case scenario, you stay at Cincinnati and you're in a Power Five conference and you're a top five team right now. I mean, you have to have the right fit. Now, when it comes to ranking them, dude, now that Florida's open, because they're not in Alabama's side of the SEC, they're in the East, not the West. I'd say Florida's one, LSU two, SC three, and then sprinkle the rest of them in.
And then sprinkle in Washington, TCU, right? Okay.
Yeah, Virginia Tech, Washington, Washington State, which, by the way, dude's done a pretty good job there as an interim head coach, man. He may be right now, forget an audition, yeah, he might have gotten a gig. Who knows?
But I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a remarkable job. But I'd go Florida one, LSU two, and right there neck and neck with LSU, I'd go USC. The only reason I have LSU above SC is because, man, you've got to win and win with style in L.A. You know this better than I do, Darren. But, I mean, if you ain't got it rolling and rocking and it's 75 degrees and sunny, you're going to have a half-full barn, right? You better be with flair, because you've got the Chargers, you've got the Rams, you've got Hollywood. I mean, you've got the beach, you've got LeBron, the Lakers, James. You've got the Clippers. We can keep going, dude. Dodgers, Angels. I mean, there's so much there. That's why I would have LSU just a notch above it, because you are it, man. And that, not, you're competing with the Saints, and that's it. Done.
Ian Fitzsimmons joining us on Extra 1360. So tomorrow night, what's your expectation for the college football playoff rankings? I'm thinking Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Cincinnati.
I could not agree more. I mean, I like arguing with you more than anything, Darren, but I agree. I think, by the way, it's Georgia and then a drop-off. And then you have that group you just mentioned. I mean, Ohio State was beyond impressive against Michigan State. We all know that. Bama had a fight against Arkansas, and Sam Pittman's done a remarkable job there as a head coach with the Hogs. And then I'm with you on Cincinnati, followed by, I would say, that next group, which is Michigan, Oklahoma State, and Notre Dame. Throw them in there whichever way you want. But I'm with you. I think this is an easy one tomorrow for the committee. Georgia, Ohio State, Bama, Cincy, right there with you.
And Cincinnati is held to a different standard than everybody else, right? I mean, obviously, yep. Because coming out of a Group of Five program, you have to win your championship. You have to win your conference title. Otherwise, you're ineligible to even go to a New Year's Six game. Why is that, by the way? And nobody's ever answered that question. Why do Group of Five programs have to win a championship in order to be considered for one of these games, but it doesn't matter to the Power Five?
Because you mentioned it there, power in group. And is it right? Is it fair? No, but that's just the world we live in. And man, my grandfather told me that when I was like 4 years old. Man, there's nothing fair in this game of a life. You got to work for everything. And Cincinnati is doing that right now. They are undefeated. They got ECU this week and then Houston.
Do you think Houston could pick them off? Houston's got a lot of wins. They've only lost once. Dude, but it's not impressive.
In this year, college football, anything's possible, bro.
All right, because that could mean San Diego State slides into that spot.
Could. I mean, I'm telling you, man. I don't put anything past any team upsetting anybody in this year in college football. I mean, it has been remarkable. This has been one of the best seasons we've ever had from week one to right now. Every single week we go, holy mother. Every single week. And nobody, by the way, if you listen to Freddie Coleman, and I said from last Monday, man, and I'm sorry about coaches' meetings cutting into us on Friday, Darren, but dude, Utah was the bet of the year.
You loved them.
Utah favored by three. I mean, I placed that bet the moment that number came out. And I talked to Kyle Whittingham earlier today. He's like, look, our jaw's been locked. They've won eight of our last nine. Last loss, by the way, Oregon State. Before that, right there with your guys, man, when they made the quarterback change to Cameron Rising. And then they've had – it's been a different ball club. And they trucked Oregon. So for Cincinnati, impose their will. I mean, they didn't beat them. They bludgeoned them.
Oh, it was over at halftime. They humiliated them. Oregon wanted to get back on the bus at the half. You could tell.
Oh, Speaking of Yellowbirds, man, it's taking a Yellowbird right out of there. Forget the Madden Cruiser they roll in, right? I mean, it's on that Yellowbird bus that La Monroe rolls in a heartbeat, dude. But there's more attrition coming, man. If Michigan somehow can beat Ohio State, right? Ohio State's out. Michigan's going to jump in, but Cincinnati's still alive. You know, Alabama's got to go to Auburn and then Georgia. If they lose a close one to Georgia, I think they're still in the top four. If they get boat raced to Los Bama, they're out. So there's still a hell of a lot of ball left to be played, man. And Cincinnati is for a group of five because of what the Utes just did to Oregon. They're looking good.
All right. So go through these real quick here. Ohio State, Michigan, what do you got?
Pure hatred. And I think Michigan can keep it close. I really do. I had him week two, and that's an I told you then, man. Aiden Hutchinson, 97. He's on the all-hug team, man. If you're looking for a stand-up DN outside linebacker for your NFL team, 97's it. He's a boy dog warrior. I think it's going to be close, man. I don't know if I'm going to lay the eight, catch the eight or not. If anything, I'll take Michigan plus the eight, but I'm probably going to lay off of it just because of Ohio State scared me with what we saw against Michigan State. But, man, Harbaugh, it's just there's six different head coaches. They went from one of the oldest staffs to one of the youngest, and those guys have bought in, you know, and your quarterback's gotten better. They can run it with not one but two guys led by Hassan Haskins. I think this is going to be a close one. Auburn, Alabama, dude, that is pure sport hate. I mean, I remember when I was at Alabama. It's a true story, dude. Bride, Alabama, groom, Auburn, Bama wins, groom's husband shoots, groom's brother shoots and kills the bride's brother because the bride's brother was talking so much smack about a football game. Can't make it up, man.
At the wedding?
Day of their wedding. Day of their wedding at the reception. That happened. 1990. I mean, it's crazy, dude. I mean, they're nuts. That thing is, it's nauseatingly, you know, just aggressive. But you never know what's going to happen down there, even without Bo Nix. And then you got, you know, Georgia, but that, The reason I go Alabama-Auburn is the most vicious rivalry in all of college sports is because your brother is your neighbor, your enemy is your neighbor, your brother may be your enemy. I mean, it's crazy, man. It's just different. I've lived Ohio State-Michigan. I've lived in Columbus, Ohio for that one. I've lived in Alabama for Alabama-Auburn. The reason that one's better and more vicious is because your neighbor is your enemy, and that can get nasty on an Iron Bowl Saturday night.
What about Bedlam? I love the name Bedlam, by the way.
Oh, I've done that game several times, man. That's a good one, too, dude. And this one, by the way, Big 12 titles on the line, or at least an appearance. Oklahoma beats Oklahoma State. They go to the Big 12 title. Oklahoma State wins. They're going, and they're already, I mean, they're heading in. So, dude, it doesn't get much better. And the Pokes, remember, man, Darren, last week they're at 9 in the college football playoff rankings. That is the lowest spot that any team has made the college football playoff from is 9. The Pokes of Okie State were sitting in 9. They're going to move up this week, obviously. You beat Oklahoma. That's another team, dude. Depending on attrition, if Houston beats Cincy and whatnot, and we have some crazy stuff happens, the Pokes and the Irish are still alive.
Give us your rundown for Thanksgiving.
I'm actually making my stuffing tomorrow night, dude. So you take about 2 bags of Pepperidge Farm cornbread stuffing, 2 bags of herb seasoning, Pepperidge Farm, about 3 rolls of Jimmy Dean sage sausage. You burn the hell out of that sausage, man. You mix it in there with a boatload of butter with those 2 different kinds of seasoning, a bunch of Tony Sachery, some Tabasco, a white onion. You got to get that onion as thin as possible, man. Dice it up and get it really paper thin. Put it all in one big old vat with some giblet gravy that my mom makes from scratch. I can't do the giblet gravy, dude. I can't, but she can. She makes the gravy. I do the rest of it. An orange-based turkey with a honey glaze. You put the oranges in. They violate that bird, man. Just get the oranges way up in there. And then honey glaze on the outside. I mean, come on, man. Mashed taters, the whole works, dude. Let's go. Green bean casserole. I just gained 4 pounds telling you about it. I can't wait.
I can't wait. Awesome. I'm going to eat that while I'm watching the Egg Bowl. That's like the best football game of the day.
Oh, and then, Dan, here's a great tip, folks. I'm telling you. Take your leftover stuffing, make a lot of extra gravy, take your leftover turkey, put your turkey, chop it up, put it in with your dressing, right, your stuffing, along with, you know, that extra gravy. Just cover it in gravy and just throw that crap right in the oven on about 350 for about half an hour. Pull it out. You got turkey hash with some crescent rolls. kick back and enjoy the day after Thanksgiving, man, with some turkey hash and college football. You'll love it.
Happy Thanksgiving, brother. Love you.
Man, I'm drooling, right? I'm like a puppy. I'm like Pavlov's dog. Let's go. Come on. Let's get after it.
See you later. Ian Fitzsimmons, everybody. For more Ian Fitzsimmons recipes, go to his website, ianfitzsimmons.com. No. He should. Restaurant reviews, recipes, he's got it all covered. Go find that.
That Stefano's menu was legit.
Yeah. Okay,
and there was fresh seafood.
I'm sure. I'm sure it's locally.
I did check. Pot. I mean, there was something for a steak. There was a menu for the steaks. There was the pastas. There was something else. There was no opossum.
There was no roadkill.
There was no roadkill.
What is the roadkill of the day? All right.
Appetizers look good. I mean, yeah.
Excuse me. Is today squirrel or is it raccoon? I forgot what day it is.